You're listening to Classical Mornings with Mike and Jean here at the new Classical FM.
The documentary film The Lost Rhapsody of Leo Spellman has been in the works for 6 years. To help raise funds for its completion, Beth Emeth of Toronto, of which Leo Spellman was a longtime member, will be hosting Rhapsody, an evening of music and hope on May 22nd. With us to talk about it is the director, David Hoffert. Good morning.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Well, this certainly is a story that's important to tell, David. I guess I don't have to tell you, do I?
That's correct.
Now, it's a fascinating story.
Give us some background to it, though, for those at home who don't know.
Absolutely. Leo Spellman was a composer from the famous Spielmann dynasty originally. His entire family was part of this musical dynasty. His father was a musician. His grandparents were musicians. And his first cousin, his father's brother's son, was Vladislav Spielmann, who was played by Adrian Brody in the movie The Pianist.
Right.
So that gives you an idea of the kind of family that he came from. And like the Roman Polanski film The Pianist, Leo had a sort of similar story of surviving the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. Although with Vladislav, it was in Warsaw, which is, you know, a bigger place, and Leo was in a small town called Ostrowiec. And when during the war, he was hidden by a Polish Christian person. Mm-hmm. For 18 months, him and his wife and brother-in-law were in hiding in a small apartment. They couldn't make a noise. They couldn't light a fire in the winter because the smoke would be seen. And they were in fear for their life the entire time. And of course, during that entire time, he never was able to play any music at all. Finally, when the war ended and he amazingly managed to get through it, the town was about 30,000 people at the time, and by the middle of the war, it was 15,000 Jews, and the amount that survived was probably, you know, like 15. Mm-hmm. So after the war, he was in a German displacement camp in 1947, and he had started to go back to playing piano again, which was a little hard because he was actually shot through the arm right when the war ended. So he went through some rehabilitation. He was playing piano for 10 hours a day, all day long. Mm. He started to get it back. And he decided at that time to write a piece of music to musically tell his story of the war. Mm-hmm. And this piece of rhapsody that he wrote encompasses the battle of the Nazis coming in 1939, and then the sadness and the suffering during the war. And finally, it ends on a positive note. It ends with the liberation musically. Mm-hmm. And then after it was performed one time in 1947 by other concentration camp survivors at the displaced persons camp, and it went well, but at that point, like many, many, many Holocaust survivors or of any atrocity, he wanted to put that out of his mind. Yes. So in 1948, he moved to Toronto and started a new life here.
Yes.
Changed his name from Spielmann to Spellman. And then he started to, he had a dance band that called the Leo Spellman Orchestra, and they would play all the latest hits. They would play the bar mitzvahs, the weddings, and he was successful at that and had, you know, a good career throughout the 50s and the 60s. And, mm-hmm. But he wasn't able, especially in Toronto at that time, to be an artist. You still hard for classical musicians and composers today, but, you
true
know,
enough.
There wasn't a big call for original Canadian pieces at that time.
Right.
And so this rhapsody that he had written to tell a story was essentially lost and forgotten for 50 years until finally around the year 2000, when it was found again when the Washington Holocaust Museum had decided, they were doing their own research and they had an event coming up. And they were able to find out that this piece had been written. They tracked down Leo. And then when he was already in his 80s, he found it again. And it
wasn't it in a suitcase in a garage?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
He had put it away, and I saw the suitcase. It had, like, you know, all kinds of sheet music from, you know, years and years of things. And then at the bottom, it had the Rhapsody. And so once it was resurrected, it was performed a few times at some events in the U.S. successfully, but it was never recorded. And then finally, when he was 98 years old, still spry, still agile, his mind very well.
Isn't that fantastic?
His children and grandchildren finally convinced him to record it.
Excellent.
And at that point, he contacted my father, and who is working on this project with me, along with my father's Paul Hoffert, mm-hmm. along with my mother, Brenda Hoffert, mm-hmm. and with Jeff Pereira, we started producing a documentary. Originally, the idea was to make a documentary about the recording of this long lost work, which we thought that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did start filming, and we filmed the recording. And then about the next year after the recording out, actually Classical FM
mm-hmm.
Started playing it a bit, and people started hearing about it. And once people started to find out the story, there became interest. And so it was then performed at the Ashkenaz Festival in 2012 with the help of Zoomer, actually, for the help putting together the crew. And we got a great 8-camera shoot, and we filmed that. And then we thought, now the documentary is finished.
Well, how far are you into the documentary? How much more is there to go?
We're at the final stage now. All the filming has already been finished.
Okay.
The filming was finished already more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
We took his daughter and grandson back to Poland, back to Ostrowiec.
Oh, wow.
To find where he actually was hiding all that time. But the reason why the project got delayed the extra amount of years is because shortly after that Ashkenaz performance, about 2 months later, Leo passed away, and he was just shy of 100 years old at that time. And as I said, we thought at that point, okay, now the documentary is done. We've got the final concert. Mm-hmm. We went to his house to film his daughter going through memorabilia. She found some old posters and things like that. And as we were at that filming day, we actually stumbled across we were searching, but we didn't expect to find his secret diaries that covered.
What a find.
And the diaries literally start the day that he went into hiding, and the final day of the diary is the day of liberation, 1945.
Wow. Isn't that
That's
great?
That's amazing.
So we had them. We didn't know what it was. We thought it was a diary, but, you know.
Yes.
And it turns out that this is, you know, an extremely rare thing. You always hear about the Anne Frank diaries.
Sure.
And one of the reasons why the Anne Frank diaries is so well known is because it's so rare to have this kind of day-to-day diary that's written at the time and has survived. Even his cousin Vladislav, who wrote The Pianist, his own story.
Yes.
But that still was a memoir written after the war.
Mm-hmm.
So now we had the diaries and the final stage of the film, which we're fundraising for as part of this event coming up on May 22nd, interspersed within the film, which has interviews with Leo, and it has concert performances of his work and Leo performing. and the children going back to Poland. But, you know, it also is going to have animated versions of actual diary segments that, you know, day to day.
Wonderful.
Which are at times chilling. Yes. and exciting, boring. Because it's 18 months of sitting down. But every now and then he would sneak out in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Under cover of darkness, and go through the town to try to get some food and to see some people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a thrilling account.
Yes.
And so the final push of the documentary now is to intersperse these animated segments.
Yes.
We're raising the funds now to finish the film.
Mm-hmm.
And
and I understand our very own Marilyn Lightstone will be doing some reading.
Absolutely. I mentioned the diaries. As part of our event, which isn't the event itself will show clips from the film in progress, but there's also going to be incredible entertainment. We have Jackie Richardson,
I
one of the great
her.
Blues jazz artists of the city and, well, of anywhere.
Yeah.
And then... Paul Hoffert will be performing with Jim Gelser, Beethoven, some Lighthouse, and also jazz versions of Beethoven songs, which you got to come down and see this.
Yeah.
This is going to be basically the premiere of that. And Marilyn Lightstone will be reading actual segments of the diary that we've just discussed.
I'm so glad. Well, we want to wish you all the best with this, David. And I think it's tremendous that you've done this. Kudos to you for doing it.
Looking forward to
this.
The finished product.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. We've been speaking with David Hoffert about composer and Holocaust survivor Leo Spellman and the gala fundraiser, Rhapsody, An Evening of Hope and Understanding, to help finish the documentary. It's hosted by Beth M.S. Temple in Toronto, May 22nd, 7:30 to 10 o'clock. For more information about the gala, call 416-633-3838. Thank you, David.